Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live mixing lesson for drum and bass, and we're dialing in something that separates sounds sick in the studio from works flawlessly in a DJ set. Today's topic is clip gain before processing, not as a boring technical chore, but as a weapon. It makes your compressor stop freaking out, it makes distortion hit the sweet spot every time, and it makes your intro, drop, breakdown, and outro feel consistent enough that a DJ can blend your tune without riding gain like it's a live performance. The core idea is simple. Same input level going into your effects chain equals predictable tone coming out. Different input level equals different behavior. And in DNB, where we're leaning hard on saturation, transient shaping, and bus compression, input level is basically the steering wheel. All right, let's set this up the way you do it in a Riedel project. First, set up your reference points, because if you can't measure consistently, you can't mix consistently. On your master, drop a spectrum so you can sanity check the low end. If you want, put a limiter on the master temporarily just as a safety net while you work, but mentally label it training wheels. We are not letting the limiter become the solution. Then make sure you can actually see what you're doing. Turn on the mixer section so you've got track volumes and meters visible. Now pick a practical target. For modern DNB, a strong, comfortable pre-master target is having your master peak around -6 dBFS during the drop, before final limiting. That gives you headroom, keeps the master from folding, and makes your eventual mastering step predictable. Here's the why in one sentence. Nonlinear processors react to level. Saturators, compressors, drum bus, even some EQ behaviors if you feed them a different level in each section. The track literally changes character between sections. That's the opposite of DJ friendly. Next, let's clarify what clip gain means in Ableton, because it's different for audio and MIDI. For audio clips, it's straightforward. Click the audio clip, go down to clip view and use the gain knob. This happens before your devices. Perfect, that's true pre-processing gain staging. For MIDI, you don't really have the same clip gain knob, so you simulate it. The clean, DJ-friendly way is to put a utility as the first device in the chain and use that as your pre-gain trim. You can also adjust the instrument's output level. Velocity can work, but be careful. Velocity often changes tone, not just loudness, and we're trying to calibrate, not redesign the sound every time a note changes. Here's a discipline rule that helps a lot. Keep your track faders close to unity around 0 dB most of the time. If you find that half your session is living with faders at -18, that's a sign you're compensating for inconsistent source levels. The housekeeping should happen earlier. Clip gain for audio, utility pre-gain for instruments. Now let's build a routing template that makes this fast. Group your session in a way that matches how DNB is actually mixed. A drums group with kick, snare, hats or top loop, and perk and fills. A bass group with sub and mid or a reese. Music for pads, atmos, stabs. Effects for uplifters, downlifters, impacts, vocals if you've got them. On each group, put a utility as the first device. Think of that utility as a trim and control point. Starting at 0 dB gain is fine. And decide where you're handling mono low end, either on the bass group or the master. A common move is bass mono on it around 120 Hz, but adjust based on your track. The goal is club translation, not a rulebook. Now we start the real work. Clip gain the drum so the groove hits predictably. Let's do kick first. Select your kick audio clips. In clip view, adjust the gain so that, before processing, your kick is peaking roughly in the -10 to -8 dBFS range on the track meter. This is a ballpark, not scripture, but it's a really solid place to be for DNB. The bigger point is consistency. Kick in the intro, kick in the drop, kick in the second drop. They should be feeding your chain similarly unless you intentionally want a different vibe. Then build a simple, DJ-safe kick chain. Start with EQ8. High pass around 25 to 30 Hz if needed, but don't gut the weight. If it's boxy, a tiny dip around 200 to 400 can clear it. Then drum bus. Drive a little, maybe 2 to 6%, boom off or extremely subtle because we usually manage sub elsewhere. Transient somewhere like plus 5 to plus 20 depending on how sharp you want it. Then glue compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, and aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction only on peaks. If you're slamming 6 dB every hit, you've stopped gluing and started reshaping. Sometimes that's a sound, but it's not the predictable DJ-friendly version. Now snare. Clip gain your snare so it's peaking roughly -12 to -9 dBFS before processing. Again, Consistency across fills and sample swaps is the big deal. A fill snare that's suddenly 3 dB louder is a classic reason your drum bus starts pumping right when the DJ needs the groove to stay steady. Processing-wise, EQ8, high pass around 80 to 120 Hz. Add presence in the 2 to 5 kHz area if it needs to speak. Then saturator. Analog clip mode is great for DNB. Drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. If you want more snap, drum bus transients can do it, but be careful. Too much transient boost can turn into click, and click is fatiguing loud in a club. Now let's talk tops and breaks, because this is where DJ friendliness often dies. Breaks and top loops are the biggest inconsistency culprits, because each slice can have different peak energy. One ghost snare or open hat spike can hit your drum bus compressor and make everything duck for a split second. In your studio, you might not notice. In a mix, it feels like the groove stumbles. If you're editing breaks, consolidate them when you're happy. Then clip gain that consolidated loop so the peaks sit in a predictable zone, often minus 14 to minus 10 dBFS depending on density. If specific hits are still wild, you've got options. You can split the clip and trim only the problem slice. Or, a really surgical method, use clip envelopes, go to volume and micro level just the rogue hits. That's often cleaner than compressing the entire loop harder. Here's a pro DJ focused move. Use one break loop for intro that's lighter, and one for drop that's heavier, but clip gain them to similar perceived loudness so the transition doesn't jump weirdly. And notice I said perceived loudness, not just peaks. Two clips can peak the same, and feel totally different if one has more mid-range bite around 1 to 5 kHz. Now bass. This is where clip gain before processing gets spicy, because bass distortion and multiband dynamics are extremely level dependent. Start with sub. If your sub is MIDI, put utility first in the chain and treat it like clip gain. Your goal is that different notes don't cause huge level jumps. Some subs bloom on certain notes. Don't immediately crush it with compression. Sometimes it's cleaner to automate utility gain for the problem note region, or use velocity mapping if your instrument responds consistently. A clean club-friendly sub chain might be utility for trim, then EQ8 low pass around 80 to 120 depending on your crossover, and then maybe very gentle glue compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 30 milliseconds, release auto and only 1 to 2 dB of reduction max. Limiter as a safety can be okay, ceiling minus 1 dB, but if it's working hard, back up and fix the level earlier. Now mid-bass or reese. Set your clip gain or utility pre-gain so that your distortion is hitting the sweet spot. In DNB, the reese often has a narrow bite point where it gets nasty in the good way. If the input changes by 2 or 3 dB between sections, your reese will feel like a changed patch. It didn't. You just drove the chain differently. A solid stock chain is utility, then saturator with soft clip-on. Drive maybe 3 to 10 dB depending on the sound. Amp can add bite if you want. Then EQ8 to high pass around 90 to 150 to leave room for sub. Multiband dynamics, but restrained. Think 10 to 25% for an OTT style lift, not full chaos unless you want it. And a limiter only catching stray peaks. Now we zoom out to the arrangement, because DJ friendly isn't only good levels. It's also section planning. You want a simple level map that makes sense in a blend. Intro 16 to 32 bars. Perceive 2 to 4 dB quieter than the drop, but not silent. DJs need something to lock onto. Drop. Your reference loudness. Breakdown. Pull back 2 to 6 dB, but keep rhythmic markers like kick and snare present enough that the track doesn't vanish. Outro. Similar to intro. Mixable tail. Table grid. And here's a best practice detail. Instead of pulling the master down to create dynamics, do it in the right places. Use clip gain to normalize assets. That means making your kick clips behave like one consistent instrument, making your break loop predictable, making your impacts not steal headroom. Then use group utility automation for intentional arrangement energy moves. For example, automate the music group utility down 3 dB in the intro, then snap it back to zero at the drop. That's a creative energy move, and it doesn't mess up how your kick compressor behaves. If you want to get really advanced, do section-based input matching for compressors. Instead of automating the threshold on your drum bus glue compressor every time the arrangement changes, put a utility right before the glue on the drums group, and automate plus or minus 1 or 2 dB so the compressor always sees roughly the same input. That keeps the compression character consistent across intro, build, drop, second drop. Now, one more key coaching point. Treat clip gain as calibration. Not mixing. Calibration is you making an audio file behave predictably. Mixing is you making artistic balance decisions. If you're doing emotional, this feels better moves with clip gain all over the place. It can get messy fast. That's when you should probably be automating the group utility or using the fader as a real mix move after your calibration pass is done. Let's also talk about something that trips people up in Ableton. Metering before processing. Live's meters are post-fader, and that can confuse gain staging. A stock workaround is creating a meter tap track. Make a new audio track named something like meter kick. Set audio from to the kick track, and choose post FX. Set monitor to in. Drop a spectrum or limiter on this meter track, just to read the level. Keep its output muted or route it to sends only, so you don't hear it. Now you can see what your devices are being fed, independent of your mix fader. Also, watch your returns. Reverbs and delays can trick you. If you clip gain a dry signal, but your sends are set in a way that doesn't follow your arrangement moves, you can get that annoying moment where the breakdown suddenly feels louder, because the reverb tail is huge. Decide early. If you want ambience to follow your mix moves, use post-fader sends. If you want consistent ambience regardless of fader moves, use pre-fader sends, but then automate sends intentionally. No accidents. Now let's do a DJ-focused sanity check before export. Loop 16 bars of intro, then 16 bars of drop. Don't touch your monitor volume. Ask one simple question. Could a DJ blend this comfortably without writing gain? If the intro disappears, it might not be a peak problem. It might be a mid-range presence problem. Add an anchor element, a filtered hat grid, a rim, a lightly distorted top loop, something consistent to blend against. Next, bypass that temporary master limiter. If your mix collapses or suddenly sounds like it's falling apart, you were relying on limiting instead of gain staging. Then check mono. This audio version is shortened for playback.